Gordon W, 2 Tango Tango Tango, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR W2 TGT. That's the right answer. We don't like emergency or priority traffic. Okay, the purpose of this net is to have a conversation about amateur radio, electronics, computers, natural phenomena, the underlying technologies that enable us to do our communications, our application of communications, and pretty much anything you want, as long as you can tack it back to one of those topics. This net is open to all radio amateurs who are licensed to operate the 2-meter band. This net is also available via Echolink at K2-Foxtrot-Juliet-L, K2-Foxtrot-Juliet-L. The net is accessible on 146955, the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club 2-meter repeater located in Alpine, New Jersey. The access tone, or PL, is 141.3 hertz. All right. As I said, this net is open to everybody. We encourage you to participate whether or not you have a question. You might wonder, why would I want to check in if I don't have a question? Because we might want to ask you your opinion on something as part of a conversation. So even if you don't have a question or a comment, we'd like you to check into the net. Okay, so we check in an orderly manner. What I'd like to start with tonight is all stations on Echolink, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and indicate whether you have a question, a comment, both, or none of the above. Over. Alrighty, nobody checked in from the Echolink. I'll check that later. Alright, any station whose call sign begins with the whiskey, letter W. Please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, indicate whether you have a question, comment, or both, or none of the above. Please call K2BAR.
W2JEK, Don, with a comment.
W2JEK, with a comment. So noted, good evening, Donald. Any other whiskeys?
W2LCN, just listening in. Name is Rick, Bloomingdale.
Good evening, Rick. Nice to hear you. Always nice to hear you as well. Are any other whiskeys?
K2BAR, W2CH. Ray, good evening. Gordon, just checking in. None of the above.
Good evening, Ray. Good hearing you from Westchester. Any other W2s? Again, W2s?
WE2R, Charlie, no questions or comments.
Good evening, Sir Charles. Any other whiskeys? Okay. How about November stations?
K2BAR, this is November 1 STU, Stuart, just listening.
Hey, Stuart, very good. Are you on radio or at Echolink?
I'm on radio.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Any other Novembers?
NS2K, Jim.
NS2K, Jim. We're running your generator as we speak, James. Thank you very much. Good hearing you. Do you have questions or comments for that?
Not yet.
Thank you, Mr. Jim. Any other Novembers? How about Alpha Station?
Alpha Charlie 2 Golf India, Rick, you have a question.
Alpha Charlie 2 Golf India, Rich, with a question. Thank you, Rich. Rich, where are you located?
I'm in Haldon.
Good, thanks, Rich. Any other Alphas? Okay, very good. All right, any, Kilo stations?
KC2NKU, Marilyn, White Plains, good evening, everybody.
KD2BRV, Skip.
Cape VRV. Do you have comments for the, or questions for the net, Skip?
I'm just going to be listening tonight, Gordon.
No problem. Thank you very much. Any other Kilos?
AC2NKU, Maryland. No questions, no comments. Good evening, Gordon.
No comments.
Oh, I got you. Who was the other station who doubled with Maryland and lost? Station who doubled with Maryland just checked in now. Who was that?
Sure, that was me, K2EIR.
It was you. K2EIR. Hi, Howie. Questions or comments?
Negative. I checked in correctly. I guess you didn't hear me. Had to do it again. Very good. Have a good evening up here.
Outstanding. Thank you very much, Howie. Any other Kilos?
Kilo Charlie 2, Oscar Romeo X-ray.
Good evening, Robert. I hear you have questions or comments.
The only comment I got to make is I'm headed home. Got to get about maybe 4.5 hours sleep. Be back up in Mola by 4 a.m. and down to McGuire by 7:30 for an O-flight with the Air Force. So I am going to be off, Gordon.
Robert. Any other Kilos?
K2ZO.
Hey, Jim, it's been a while since we had you happily on the net. Thank you for your hospitality the other day. That was awesome. Do you have questions or comments for the net?
I just wanted to comment, about the that antenna, because we had been talking about the off-center bit, so I just want to make some comments about that that antenna and how well it did work. And that's it. Back to net.
Very good. Yes, we will definitely do that. Any other Kilos?
KO2, okay. Hi, Gordon. Bennett here. No questions or comments at this time.
Good evening, Bennett. Always here. Nice to hear you as well. All right. Any other stations with a Kilo call?
Kilo2, Hotel Echo Sierra, K2HES, Holder and Dayville. No comments or questions.
Okay. It was Holder, K2HES.
It's Hotel Oscar Lima, Golf Echo Romeo, over. Must be a band opening tonight. I'm just listening and learning.
Sorry, my ears are fuzzy. Very good, thank you, Holger. Any other Kilos?
Kilo Delta 2, Alpha Kilo Papa Nestor in California. No questions or comments. Good evening.
Connected KD2AKP.
Okay, very good, Nestor. Good hearing you. Good hearing you is very much so. Now I have to explain to my radio merit badge class here, who's kind of staring over my shoulder, what echolink is. We'll do that in a minute too. Alrighty, anybody else? Let's begin with the fun. Mr. Don, your comment first, K2BAR.
K2BAR and the net, this is W2JEK. We have a tentative date for VE sessions. First one will be on September 14th. It's a Friday night at 7 o'clock at the Westwood Regional High School. Jim says these things are pretty good to go, but the last minute, make sure I haven't changed it. That's the only thing I can say right now. I'll give it a week or two, and then I'm going to put it in the Barra calendar and on the ARRL's website. With that, back to net, W2JEK.
Very good, Don. Thank you very much. That's super. Anybody have any questions for Don about the upcoming exam schedule? Okay, very good. Don, any more you want to ask?
Not at this time. There'll be one afterwards next in October. That'll be at the Ham Fest, which will be on October 6th, which is a Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. And we'll have another one in November, Friday before Thanksgiving. More specifics on it at a later date.
Back to net, W2JEK.
Okay, very good. Right, I've got an announcement, and that is that the Venture Cruise 7373 and Troop 139 Hamfest is August 11th. KJI will be there. Several other vendors will be there, selling all sorts of doodads. There'll be a guy who sells Arduino controllers and other goodies like that. He'll be bringing that stuff. And we're also having a bunch of tech talks. Plus, I talked about Bill Heitzik, about the W2QSL Bureau and, you know, leak issues. And then another talk by Rich Mosesen on how to make amateur radio more appealing to the kids that are people involved in the maker movement and, you know, basically the things that make it relate to what people are doing in other areas and tie that back, tie amateur radio into it. So it's all, you know, we've had a lot of public safety kind of interest in amateur radio of late, but there's also a lot of what I'll call hobbyist and experimentation stuff outside of amateur radio that you can bring in amateur radio to bear in it to make it the experience more interesting. And Rich from CQ Magazine is going to talk about that. And then there'll also be a couple other sessions as well. Of course, we'll have that wonderful kitchen. Are there any questions about that? Okay, I'd also like to point out that the Round Pole Mountain Amateur Radio Club is going to have their Hamfest on the following Saturday, June 18th, at Camp Barrettans. And I guess that's Hailden at the bottom of William Patterson University, just west of Hamburg Turnpike. North of Goffel Road by a mile or so. All righty, any other questions on that subject before we move on? Okay, a reminder that Barra has their meeting, their regular monthly meeting, this Sunday at 7 p.m. at the Washington Township Municipal Building. Gathering at 7 o'clock, and the meeting starts at 7:30. So hopefully people will be able to attend. All righty, let's see. Our next is a question from Rich, AC2GI. Your question, Rich, QTBARW2TTT.
Yeah, I'm thinking about building a solar battery charger. I was lucky enough to get my hands on a nice 35 amp hour battery that we used for one of our systems that we didn't need anymore, and we're thinking about making a battery solar charger for it. And I didn't know if anybody has recommendations for any kits or anything like that before I go shopping at the next couple of Hamfests. Over.
Okay. So you have the battery, you just don't have the solar charger. So there are a couple of inexpensive controllers out there. Let me give you a couple of do's and do nots. If you're going to continuously charge a battery, do not buy the 45-watt solar system from Harbor Freight, because you can overcharge your batteries. It's not meant to do maintenance charging. You have to make sure you don't overcharge it. It does come with a really cool little controller, but it doesn't know when to quit on the battery. In other words, it's a solar regulator. It's not, and it will charge a battery, but it's not something that will regulate the charge to the battery. What you can do is, there are a number of systems out there. Let's say for that size battery, you might want to get a 50-watt panel, you might want to get a 100-watt panel. For, you know, if you had a bigger battery, I would say you might want to go for a 170, 150 watt, or even a 200 watt panel. But I would not suggest that for something as small as a 35 ampere hour battery. What you may want to look at is, as I said, a 50 to 100 watt panel, and you probably want to consider any number of regulator charge controllers that come with those. But you can buy a nice 2 foot square 50 watt panel. I know I have one that I'm doing work project with work, and I could get you the part numbers for the charge controller and the solar panel if you email me, Rich. I'd be happy to do it. In the meantime, does anybody else have any ideas? Please call K2BAR. K2EIR, go ahead, Howie.
Okay. I happen to have the Harbor Freight system, which I use with an automobile battery, actually a pair of them. I haven't switched their old batteries. I really don't care about protecting them, and it's worked out fine so far. I've used it on field day twice, not a lot besides that. However, I'm going to mention that just the other night I bid on a 10 amp charge controller. That's what they call it. I don't know how well, again, the flaw you pointed out would take care of, properly charging a battery, but it, so that it doesn't get overcharged. I bought it for 47 cents, I think, 49 cents, but about $13 of shipping on eBay from Hong Kong, new. So there are possibilities, and my point here is that if $13 or $15 is the kind of money you don't mind almost throwing away, you can try it. You don't have to put a lot of money into it, and it probably would be the kind of thing that, if that said, it would be a charge control because your typical solar panel in bright sun might generate as much as 21 volts or so, and you don't want to. Well, if the battery's big enough, it probably won't matter because it won't be able to too much to a 12-volt battery. The voltage will probably just go down. You probably could build in an expensive circuit to limit the charge. And if you're only spending, $13 for the controller, it's probably okay. My other thought, let me let this reset. Harbor Freight is also selling a 1.5 watt panel for about $14 currently. It was another buck or two a week ago. And if you just want to charge to a battery, not really use it like with equipment, but if you couldn't charge a 35 amp battery very quickly with a 1.5 watt solar cell, it would take days or weeks. But if you just want to maintain a charge on it, you could put that on. So, for example, you could use a regular Harbor Freight 45-watt system if you really want to operate with your 35-watt battery. And then when you just want to leave it maintenance, you can switch to the 1.5 or run a couple of 1.5-watt solar panels with it. So that's my thought. W2TTT from K2EIR.
You certainly can do that for maintenance charging, but my honest opinion is that a charge controller that knows how to, go into a maintenance mode automatically is probably more worthwhile and requires less touch time and less babysitting and less prone to error. The charge controller that comes with their 45-watt system, which is 3 15-watt panels, they're kind of big. They're very heavy. I've got two of those systems. And the controller for them is kind of neat because it comes with 2 5-watt, 12-volt, fluorescent, compact fluorescent bulbs. They're very cool, and it's amazing how much light you get out of them. But they plug into it. There's a USB port that will plug in. There's 12 volts to charge to a battery, and there's all sorts of stuff. But, if you're babysitting and constantly charging and discharging, it's fine. But if there's any chance of that battery having to go into maintenance mode for long periods of time, that controller is not capable of doing it. Your first controller mentioned is probably a better choice, even the 10-watt one from Harbor Freight. But there are other places, too. I can, if you send me an email, I will be happy to send you the 50-watt panel part number and also the charge controller we're using. They're not that expensive. There's also a place in Parsippany who's very good, Solar something in Parsippany. I'll have to go look it up. Solar Tech, I want to say, in Parsippany, they're on 46. But that's another possible thought. Anybody else have questions or comments on the subject of solar charging?
Alpha Juliet 4, Whiskey Delta.
Rachel, will you be adding comments, questions, confusions to this, or are you going to talk on this topic, or are you just checking in?
I have a question on this topic.
All right, let's clear the core topic, and we'll go to you next real quick. Give me a second. Anybody else have more for Rich's first question? Okay, well thank you, Howie. Rich, did you want to add any more before we go to Rachel's?
Yes, well, I thank you all for the input, and I made some notes here, and Gordon, I emailed you just about an hour ago on another subject, so you can either respond back to that, or we can talk on Sunday. Over.
Where are we talking on Sunday? At the meeting. Yeah, we can do that. Sure. Why don't we do that? That's fine, too, but I'll send you something in the email. I can look that up. I just have to get to my work computer at some point on Saturday or Sunday before the meeting and send it to you. I don't have that information here.
All right. Thank you very much.
Hey, since it's topically related, AJ4WD, Rachel, your question.
I have a friend that has one of these portable trailers, you know, that many times you see the landscapers driving around. And what he has inside is a carpentry tool, you know, a table saw, miter saw, etc. And his question to me was, can we put a solar panel on top of the trailer that then could be used to feed power to run the power tool? So first question is, how feasible is it to put a solar panel on top of a trailer knowing that the trailer, you know, is going to be bouncing down the road? And number two, are we going to be able to get enough power out of the solar panel to run these pieces of power equipment? And I guess three, what if we go from the conventional 110 power equipment over to the power equipment that runs off of batteries? So there's a fourfold question.
I have an answer to that that's really good. So the first thing is that WITW has a neighbor who built up who built up a little wagon that has two deep cycle batteries and a solar panel and an inverter and a charge regulator, just like you're talking about. So if you have the whole roof a trailer like that available, you can get some serious power into it, not just maintenance power. And yeah, I don't see a reason why you could put, you know, 400 watts of charge power on there, and maybe a really serious pile of batteries inside, and make a go of that. So contact Steve and ask him about his friend who did the small version, and then we can scale that answer up. No problem. You can put 270 or 200 watt panels across, maybe even, depending on the length of the trailer, you could put maybe four or six of those panels on there and get a ridiculous amount of power, and you just store the batteries inside, and away he goes.
K2EIR. Additional comment, K2EIR.
K2EIR, why don't you give me your comment?
Go ahead, Howie.
Okay. Now, I've lost my August QST, but I seem to remember that Bob Bruinga had an article on solar power in that August QST issue, and he also referenced some web pages of Alaska Zone, and I certainly think on the web pages there was a photograph of a trailer that he had attached to his Prius. It was a wooden trailer with solar cells, and there's a lot there in general that you might want to read anyway, and you could read it tonight. So that's why I mentioned it, K2EIR.
Thank you, Howie.
Yes, I can see you hauling a Prius trailer, a trailer around on your Prius now, right?
One never knows. So what about the flex and the give and the bounce? Are these solar panels flexible enough to take that? Or do I have to think about, you know, these strip solar panels that you can spray on to the surface?
I have a comment on that too, K2EIR.
Both of the more mechanically robust ones, but yeah, I don't think vibration is going to be much of an issue for the better panels, but you can there are actually some that have vibration testing. Keep in mind that even some of these that are in fixed locations, they're often in windy locations and also thermally stressed. So there's all sorts of nasty, you know, mechanical forces on them already.
Howie.
Start with an additional comment.
How we go?
I'm not hogging it. I, again, just looking on eBay a night or so ago, I noticed that someone is selling like an 18-foot flexible strip that's a solar panel that's meant to be put on a roof, but it apparently is not, you know, and it's waterproof and whatever. It was not, and very lightweight, was not meant, you know, it's not glass, as most of them are, you know, where the photovoltaics are actually on a glass panel. This is some sort of flexible material. So, again, look on eBay. If that's a major concern, I would think this flexible stuff would be pretty immune to vibration and shock. K2EIR.
Those are very good. In fact, I've seen them woven into tarps. They were talking about using them for the National Boy Scout Jamboree next year, and they've already started to deploy some technology of one form or another down in West Virginia for that. Alrighty. The other thing is you could flex mount them, you know, the rigid panels on rubber bumpers, and that would probably be sufficient as well. I don't think it's that much of a big deal as you might think. Alrighty, Rachel, back to you.
All right, now from a physical perspective, do they have to be mounted with a slight tilt so the water runs off, or having them adhered to the flat roof is not a problem?
No, you know, they're sealed. They're meant to be put on house roofs, so I don't think that's a big deal. Some house roofs are flat, some will have a slight tilt. I personally would probably forward tilt them slightly just to let water run off.
Yeah, I was thinking forward tilting also, but the concern there is any pebbles, rocks, whatever that gets kicked up on the road would definitely hit it if it was forward tilted.
Okay, I'm thinking like maybe 1 over 24 pitch, 1 over 20, and if that really was a concern, you could put like a 3-inch high, 4-inch high vertical wind dam over the front.
Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. AJ4WD, back to next.
Okay, very good. That's excellent. Anybody else, real quick? Alrighty. Let's see, who else? I guess that's it. Rachel, K2ZO had some comments. Jim, tell us What's your comments?
Okay. KQBAR. This is K2ZO. Well, I guess you weren't here the other day, the time I was back in here. Of course, I've been away for a while, helping out on Thursday night. But I did report the success of that simple idea of a off-center fed antenna with a few improvements on it. Just to refresh you, we talked about the standard off-center fed like a Wyndham, we had some problems making that work on 15 meters because we didn't get a real good match. And it turned out that by going with a 40% off-center fed, which is a 69-foot antenna fed at 28-foot, with twin lead, simple bound at the bottom, the SWR on every band from 40 to 6 meters is low enough that you can use just the tuner in the radio. I was using my TS-2000, and the tuner in the radio would easily match that. So it makes a nice little compact throw-up antenna to get on the air quickly, and it's very good. We were able to work one of the X, and when you talk to Rachel, she can tell you how well that antenna did work. Back to net, K2ZO.
Okay, so the overall dimensions are, and the feed point position is, and the either 300 or 450 ohm line should be minimally how long?
About 50 feet long. Gives you a point at where the SWR is easily managed by just a simple tuner that, like in the radio, you know, they cut off at 3-1. So this is a pretty good easy job to do, and worked quite well.
So that's 50 feet of open line or flat lead, and or twin lead I should say, and the overall length of the wire and the feed point offset is.
Well, the length of the dipole that we use, the total length is 69 feet long. And the feed point was 28 feet down from one end. And we built them with 300 ohm, 450 ohm line, and they seem to work quite well with somewhere close to 50 foot of feed line. And depending on the type of tuner you have, it'll work with a 1-1 or even a 4-1 balance. So it's pretty forgiving little antenna to throw up and use, and it works quite well.
Outstanding. And I can tell you, folks, I saw the antenna up on Jim and Rachel set up for the New Jersey CUSO party in the park last weekend, and it was very impressive. It was launched by Jim and Dick well into some trees. At a height that I'm very jealous of. Even with towers and stuff, I can't get antennas quite that high, at least wire antennas that high or flat. I can do it as a sloper, but I can, or an inverted V, but I can't do it as a flat thing. But boy, that was impressive. So 69 feet overall length, 28 feet from one end. You insert 450 or 300 ohm line, about 50 feet in length, put in a 1-1 or a 4-1 balance, and you're a happy, happy, joy, joy. Anybody have any comments or questions for Jim on this subject?
The IR, what was the antenna launcher to get it up in the trees?
It is couple, no, he used an air launcher.
Potato gun.
Okay. I wish I could remember, but there's some radio club, I think in Joplin, Missouri, that is selling a pneumatic antenna launcher for $35 plus $15 shipping, if anyone's interested.
Very good, Howie. Anybody else? All right. So the launcher basically was a contraption that Jim built, and it's really, really slick. You know, got all sorts of gizmos. I mean, these all started with Tony blowing up ballistas, you know, wooden dowels with screws in them and fishing line. And Jim has taken it so that he's got a longer, fatter ballista of a PVC pipe with caps. And others have launched, actually Jim has launched, those mini tennis balls also with the kind of dog that you use for dog training. That's another technique. I mean, it goes on and on and on. So there's all sorts of things you can do. Boy, I'm hearing more 955 repeaters than you want to know. I'm hearing two others. All righty. Anybody else?
Kilo Delta 2, Alpha Alpha Echo, Tenafly, New Jersey.
Kilo Delta 2, Alpha Alpha Echo. Very good. What is your name, sir?
My name here is Sean.
Spelling is Sean, what are you doing? Kilo Delta 2, Alpha Alpha Echo, W2TTTKTBAR. How do you spell Sean?
I'm sorry, it's Sierra Echo Alpha November, Sean, S-E-A-N.
Okay, Sean, do you have a question for tonight?
Just listen in, no traffic, just listening.
Okay, very good. Welcome aboard. All right. Anybody else have any more topics for tonight? Well, Jim, I ran out of time to grab the balance, so I brought everything I needed for that antenna except for the balun. And tomorrow, if I have time, I'm going to try it just on a whim with the wire lengths you discussed, if I can find anything. I don't know if I packed a little 300-ohm tuner that has a built-in balun, you know, one of those little MFJ jobs with the meter. Worst-case scenario, since I'm in an outdoor environment, I'll try it that way. But I'm kind of hell-bent to try it and compare it to the 40-meter dipole, at least on 40, just to see if there are any obvious differences. All right. Jim, did you want to add anything more to this?
Well, that's it. As far as the comparison that I've made, that the antenna works just as well as a coax-fed 40-meter dipole, but, of course, that's a one-band antenna. The idea was to get something that you could tune on every band, and that would work efficiently. And as I said, works very well. Back in it.
Okay, very good. That I think it was a double bazooka antenna that we had discussed previously, the one that W2PSU put up at his house here in Jersey, is just amazingly loud compared to everything else he has had before. In this area of the world, and even at home, that is a really killer antenna for wire. Alrighty. Are there any other questions or comments for the net tonight? For that matter, any other check-ins for the net tonight? This is K2BAR, W2TTT. Alright, everybody. I'll bid you a fine good evening. I want to thank the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of the repeater. Look forward to seeing everybody at the Barrow Monthly Meeting tomorrow, on Sunday night at the Washington Township Municipal Building. We gather at 7 o'clock, and of course we will have our meeting start at 7:30. Look forward to seeing everybody there. Should be a nice evening and a lot of fun. Take care, and again, thanks for your participation this evening. It's a lively net with good topics. And, Rich, I'll send you some info. Rachel, I'll copy you on whatever I find as well, if anyone else is interested in the solar information or any questions about what Jim was describing with his antenna. You can always shoot me an email at w2ttt@awrl.net. Take care and good night, everybody. This is W2TTT, K2BAR, returning the repeater to normal amateur radio use.
Gordon, I sent you an email to copy me on the solar references, K2BAR.
Aye, aye, Capitan. Got you covered, Howie, W2TTT.
I don't know. Stand by.
In the middle of a radio merit badge class, and this was a 45-minute interlude that was semi-instructional, but kind of illustrated some of the things we do. So anyway, I appreciate everybody's participation tonight for our class. We did a 40-meter contact earlier and a local 2-meter contact, so this is kind of fun. I'm 80 miles west of the repeater in Cuttackville, New York. 73W2TTT.
Gordon, you have time to chat a bit?
Really briefly, Howie.
Okay, well, I was sort of wondering what happened at Sussex. How'd you make out? Because that's the day or two before that when you announced it. I think that's the last time I spoke with you. I've been extraordinarily busy myself, so I hope it went well.
I made a few dollars after all the expenses, and Nancy and I enjoyed the day out. That was the real purpose of the game. I think we made like $200 after all of everything else, so it was fine. But you know, since it's only the heavy duty stuff, heaven forbid anybody has any money. The economy sucks, but you know, that's why hemp fests need to be more than just flea markets, and that's why you know Barra has unbelievable food and fellowship at our hemp fest. And you know, we also have the test sessions that gets people in and just commiserating and showing up. That and a couple of key vendors doesn't hurt either. Anyway, but thanks. I hope you're well. I'm going to be able to get back to my class. T2EIR, W2TTT.
Roger. Thanks for the moment. 73, K2EIR.
Call W2TTT.
Just to remind you that there is that special station at the Olympics in London. That was one of the contacts I made with the off-center Fed. A lot of people were trying to call him. I just put my call sign out there once, and he came right back at me. So I know that antenna's working very well with my little 100-watt radio. So that might be something you want to do with the boys.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Well, I will tell them about it. Thank you, Rachel. There was another station that something that they were trying to tell me underneath you. I think it might have been Howie again. Or not. Okay. I'm going to sign for now. I got to bang out a couple of other items in the next little bit so these guys can finish the badge. HA4WD W2TTT.
Someone mentioned my name when I left the room.
I thought you were the one doubling with Rachel, but Rachel won. It wasn't you. I apologize, Howie. W2TTT.
Okay, well, it easily happens by any of us, I guess. Certainly me. It wasn't me. I was out of the room. K2EIR.
This is KD2AAE. I was just mentioning that on the Russian news in Pravda, Putin mentioned that they had moved nuclear weapons to Cuba, but there's no mention of it in mainstream news. I was wondering if anyone else has seen anything about it. Over.
No, I hadn't heard that, but ask if our government is going to do anything about it before November, actually before January 20th, W2TTT.
Really interesting. It's like maybe they're not saying anything because it, I don't know. It would make the president look weak if they're just pretending. They're putting their head in the sand like it's not even there. But you can go to Pravda, the Russian news. Look at the English version. You can even translate the Russian version, and it's an exact quote from Putin that in Lourdes, Cuba, they've reactivated some nuclear sites there supposedly. So who knows? KD2AE clear.
KD2AKP disconnected.
Thank you.
Thank you.